Hello, and welcome to Media Mavens. This is episode 46. I'm Pam, and with me, as always, is Riley.
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing on this few days before Christmas?
I'm doing well. This is the last day of work for me until January, so.
That's nice.
It's nice. It's weird. Like, our office does it in a way that, you don't really have a choice.
Okay.
They close the office, and that's mm-hmm. kind of all you get, basically. So, yeah. But I'm not complaining too much because it is nice.
mm-hmm. Yeah, my office doesn't close at Christmas, and every year, basically, someone brings up, "Can we close at Christmas?" And the CEO is always like, "We're government funded. That wouldn't look good." So, but they keep asking every year. Like, we just got a new CEO, and so, like, the first question asked anonymously was, "Can we get Christmas off again?" So, but no, I have to work that week, at least part of it. Yeah. I took off the Wednesday, but. Mm-hmm. So, since we are recording so close, and since this episode is actually set to go out on Christmas Day, mm-hmm. we're going to talk about Christmas and our favorite Christmas things.
Yay!
But first, what we've been up to. Riley, what have you been watching or playing?
Well, I mostly, for playing-wise, it's been Overwatch. Surprise! because they came out with their Christmas patch, holiday patch, so there's new skins, and there's a new game mode, and new, like, emotes and poses and stuff, so I've been playing around with that, just mostly doing Mystery Heroes, and the new game mode, which is Yeti Hunt, I think, and you play... It's kind of like, if you've ever played Evolve, or you know anything about that game, one person plays as, like, the monster. So in Overwatch, you play as Winston, or the Yeti, and then your goal as Winston is to eat 4 meats. Which sounds weird to say, but it's eat 4 meat. And then when you do that, you get, like, his ultimate, and you can, like, crush the little May hunters that are trying to kill you. and you can, like, one-shot them pretty much. Yeah, one person will play as him, and then the other 5 people are May. So everybody is a May, like, running around, and you have, like, a Yeti trap that you can put down. I've never got it to work, so I don't know exactly what it does.
Is it like a Junkrat trap, basically, where it just keeps them in place?
It looks like a Junkrat trap, but mine always get broken, and I'm not really sure, like, what I'm doing wrong with them, but maybe I'm just not putting them down. Or playing against a good Winston, who knows? But it's pretty cute. It can go for a pretty long period of time if the Winston is really good at, like, avoiding all of the maze and not letting them catch him, but it's cute.
I like this one much better than the last year's. The snowball one was so slow. Run to a pile of snow, load 1 snowball, shoot it at someone, and then find more snow. That was not the most exciting.
Yeah, it's definitely a little faster for sure. What have you been up to?
I played a few things. I played Abzu, which is basically like Journey underwater.
Oh.
I don't think it's like by the same people or anything, but it's very, very sort of thematically and aesthetically similar. So you just go around underwater sort of exploring all these things. You can find little stones, you can sit and meditate on them, and you can, like, watch all the fish and sea creatures go by, and you can, like, jump between sea creatures to, like, see what each little school is doing. There's a little bit of sort of danger action near the end, but mostly it's just sort of swimming through these really gorgeous underwater scenes. Hmm. So it was very nice. I actually liked it a little bit more than Journey. It had good music as well, and I just really like underwater scenarios. And this one had a giant squid, which wins for me. Another game I played was another smaller one called Scanner Sombre, which is basically just a walking simulator, and you start in this cave and you're exploring it, but it's completely dark. And so you find this scanner, and it sort of like paints, like, I don't think it's actual paint, but like paints the walls with colors. So it's almost like a physical map. So things that are close are red and things that are far away are green, and it sort of like does the color spectrum like that, so you can sort of map out what the cave looks like.
Oh, cool.
Which is pretty cool. And I didn't really know much about the game before I played it, so I was just like, ooh, all the pretty colors. And then it gets super dark, like you're going through this cave and it's talking about this cult that used to come down here and sacrifice people. Oh. And how they would take witches down here, and it's like, oh no. And then anytime you end up in water, there's like horrible sounds, and it's like, oh god, this is scary, I wasn't expecting this.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, and you can, like, as you're scanning, you can see sort of, like, figments or ghosts of figures that aren't really there, but you can still see them, and it's kind of creepy. Spooky. But, yeah, it was kind of neat, though. It was just, like, a nice little short one, but it was pretty neat as well. What else have you been up to?
I went to see the new Star Wars game. Or movie. The Star Wars movie. God. It was good. I think I need to see it again. Because I feel like there was a lot going on. And from what I've seen on the internet, it looks like I'm not the only one. Thinking that. So it seems like it's been pretty divisive, honestly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is interesting. I mean, like, on first viewing, I like The Force Awakens better than this one for sure. But
okay.
I feel like that's bound to happen with a second movie and a new director.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't say too much more. I mean, there were some good parts, like some really, really cool parts, and then there were some parts where I was like, oh god, really, like this is, it's too long, like it could it's just some parts were just so slow. Which was so strange when it was offset by these really awesome, like, either action sequences or just cool moments between the characters. So I don't know, but I feel like this always happens with middle movies of trilogies, where it's kind of like, oh man, you know, eh.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I will probably go when it's a little less busy, maybe next week, maybe even on the weekend. Yeah, I want to see it. It seems like there's a crowd of people who are just determined not to like it no matter what, but then there seems to also be some legitimate criticisms of it.
Yeah, and like, I can see, like, where the criticism is coming from and, like, kind of agree with some of it. Yeah. but, I mean, it was still, like, a good movie. I don't know. But I definitely want to see it again. So I feel like I can focus more on certain things. And now I know when I can use the washroom. Which is a big plus for a movie like that where it's so long.
I remember when I saw Phantom Menace in theater a lot before I realized how bad it was. I discovered, oh, if I just go to the washroom while they're on Tatooine before the pod race, it gets better.
Just skip that whole part.
Yeah. I also played a game that it seems like everyone's talking about right now, Doki Doki Literature Club. Have you heard of it?
Only from what I've seen on Twitter.
Okay. So it's a free visual novel on Steam. I don't know why it's free. They should be charging some money for it because it's like really well made. So I don't know what to say about it because every single person who talks about it is like, oh, go in blind. Like, don't read about it. Don't know anything before you go in. But if that's the case, then I'm done talking.
It was good, and now you should go play it.
Well,
maybe I not don't know. Good.
See, so
well, you're not really like into the visual novels, right?
No, not really. I mean, there have been some that I like. Like, I like the Christine Love ones.
What about the pigeon one? Did you play that one?
I quit the pigeon one, like, almost immediately. I was like, nope.
Too weird. I'm done.
Yeah. I don't like dialogue. I mean, I don't dislike dialogue, but when something is completely based on dialogue for storytelling, it's just not my jam. Like, even the games like 999, which everyone loves, I was just like angrily just click, like, shut up, stop talking. Are you ever gonna stop talking? When can I do a puzzle? Please stop talking. So this is a visual novel, and it starts out just like a visual novel. You have you're a high school boy. It doesn't tell you that at first, so it's like, what's your name? And I was like, Pam. And then it just kept referring to me as he. I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'm Pam the boy. So you have this best friend, and she wants you to join a club, so you join this literature club with these other girls. So there's four girls, and you, I guess, try to pursue one. And one of the things you do in the literature club is read poems. So you pick words that you think will impress one of the girl you're after to make your poem, except you don't ever get to actually read your own, I don't think. You just get to read the girls. And eventually it gets super, super dark, which is given away basically on the Steam page. And it does some cool kind of meta horror things, which I appreciated. But what I didn't appreciate was that it took an hour and a half for it to get there. And I was just like, the whole time I was like, okay, I know something's gonna happen. Like, is it gonna happen now? So by the time I got there, I was just kind of tired of reading all the dialogue, just because it's not my, like, flirting with anime girls isn't my thing, yeah. I guess. So I don't know. It's interesting. Like, if you like visual novels, I definitely recommend it because it does some cool things, but you have to be able to withstand that first hour and a half of visual novelness. It actually might be longer because at the end I was like just clicking very, very fast. What else have you done?
Well, the last couple weeks I've been like not doing a lot. The only other things I've done have all been Christmas movie related, because I was watching them while I was wrapping presents. So I went and like rewatched a bunch. I don't know what ones. Well, I watched my favorite one, The Santa Claus, with Tim Allen. And every year that I rewatch it, I'm kind of like, does this still hold up? Like, is it still as good as I remember it to be? And there's some moments where it's like, no, not really.
No.
But for the most part, I think it's still pretty good. There's like, the only part that kind of bothered me was like, he like starts turning into Santa Claus because he like killed the other one by accident. Have you ever seen Santa Claus?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen it. Just sounded well, he murdered Santa.
That's what his kid says. But he like, it's an accident, really. He like calls up to him and he falls off the roof or whatever. And he like starts turning into Santa Claus, but he starts gaining weight and he starts like getting like gray hair and like, you know, this big beard, and he goes to the doctor, and the doctor, I think, tells him, he's, like, you know, concerned because he's gaining all this weight, like, overnight, basically. Mm-hmm. And his doctor is like, oh, I guess you should just watch your cholesterol.
Oh.
And I was like, no, my dude, this is, like, a serious problem.
Maybe you should check his thyroid or something. Come on.
Yeah. So, like, that kind of stuff didn't really hold up as well, because I was like, what if he was, like, I don't know, got cancer and had this huge tumor that made him gain a bunch of weight? Like, I don't know. Yeah. And I mean, like, I guess there could also be some concern of, like, just because he is a little bigger doesn't mean that that's a bad thing, too. Like, because it kind of, at one point they're, like, concerned that he's, like, getting too big. Mm. So, I don't know, that, like, a little bit of fat shaming in there, which,
yeah,
you know, I think was pretty typical of movies around that time period.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, even, like, there's another movie that we both watched where there's a lot of fat jokes at the expense of not even fat people.
Yeah. Actually, we need to talk about that movie more, because it was
okay.
Awful.
Oh, good. I'm so, I was really worried. I was like, oh God, what if this is one of those things she likes and I just shit on it? Okay,
nope.
Good. Okay.
Stay tuned. We're talking about it later. I don't know. I still like the Santa Claus, and I think it's cute. And I have to, like, I have the second one and the third one, but I'm pretty sure the second one is, like, finding him a wife. And, like, that's all it's about, is finding him, like, a Mrs. Claus, which is kind of weird and creepy. Mm-hmm.
And does the same thing happen to her? Like,
yeah,
she gets the Santa curse, and then she gets old and...
I don't think, like, so.
Oh, okay.
She stays, like, super hot and...
Oh, of course.
Skinny, yeah.
Of course she does.
I'm pretty sure. And I have the third one, which is, like, the one with Jack Frost, played by Martin Short, which is, I think, the worst one of the three. It's terrible. But... Yeah, I mean, I like Santa Claus. It's a good movie, I think. You know, for the time period that it was made in, watching it now, it's... Yeah. There's some parts where it's like, okay. But overall, it's still, like, you know, one of those ones that I used to watch, like, around Christmas with my family, like, every year, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's hard to break that nostalgia.
Yeah. Well, before I get to my... maybe not Christmas movies that I've been watching. I watched Burlesque probably a couple weeks ago now, and I love musicals, and I love Cher, and I love Christina, so it was awesome.
Yay!
It's like one of those sort of star vehicles for a singer, so it's for Christina Aguilera, except it's not, like, terrible, like Britney's or Mariah's movies.
Or what's the one that I'm thinking of?
Kelly
Glitter
Clarkson?
One?
Oh.
Isn't that Mariah Carey?
Yeah. I think so. So this starts with Christina, and she's, like, a waitress in a small town, and she moves to L.A. with big dreams of being a star, and she finds this burlesque club and sort of just, like, starts working as a waitress there in order to try and get in there. And Cher is, like, the proprietress. yes. So Cher is amazing. Cher's, like, 65 years old in this movie. It's ridiculous. Like, she's awesome. I mean, I know she has a lot of work done, but, like, she looks great and she sounds great. And there's a lot of people that I didn't even realize were in it. Like, Stanley Tucci's in it, and he's always good. McSteamy from Grey's is in it.
I don't know his actual name.
I think it's Mark Dane.
Whatever.
He's his actual McSteamy. Whatever. Alan Cumming. Kristen Bell is in it as, like, the mean burlesque dancer who doesn't like Christina Aguilera. And it's good. It's just a lot of singing and dancing, and it was fun. I enjoyed watching
it. Nice.
Yeah. What else for you?
Let's see. The other movie that I watched was Scrooged.
Hmm.
Which is also still pretty good.
I always think I really like that, but I actually haven't seen it in a long time, and I barely remember it.
It's, I mean,
Bill Murray's awesome, so.
Yeah. Yes. It's, there were some points where I was kind of bothered, and now I can't remember. Oh, he's like a complete asshole in this movie, like the entire time. And like one of the things is like, you know, the ghost of, so it's basically like A Christmas Carol, but with Bill Murray. And he's like a television executive, and one of the ghosts is showing him like how he treated like his ex-girlfriend and how like she ends up in the future if they're not together or something. But like he's not nice to her at all. And then like near the end of the movie they get back together and I'm like, no, like he's not good. He's not good for you. Like that was the only thing I was kind of like, no, just let her be good, or like actually be nice to her instead of just automatically getting the girl. But you know, I guess that's how this story has to play out.
Yeah.
But like the ghost of the future or whatever is like the creepiest thing. He like opens his little robe or whatever and he's got like tiny people and stuff like all in there. It's like it's so creepy and gross. But yeah, I mean like that's still like a pretty good Christmas movie, but I was like, it definitely loses some of the charm watching it again, which is too bad, but he's still, you know, good in it.
I find in a lot of movies that have some kind of romantic component, one of the couple is just like awful, and the whole time I'm just thinking like, why do you like this person? Yeah. Like I don't
just leave them.
No. Yeah. Why are you chasing them? Like stop. So after we had your brother on last time and he talked about Switchblade Sisters, I went and listened to every episode of it, like all in one night. It was so good. You know, as Tyler said, it's this film critic who interviews female filmmakers, whether they're directors or actors or screenwriters, and asks them about their favorite genre film and how it influenced them. So it's really good, and they do this really good job of sort of combining talk about the genre film topic versus like talking about the creator's own work. So it won me over pretty much immediately. I hadn't heard any, or I hadn't seen ever even heard of the Bone Tomahawk movie from the first episode, but the person on the first episode was Emily Gordon, who co-wrote The Big Sick with Kumail Nanjiani. So it was really interesting to hear from her, since I didn't know that she was a screenwriter outside of that movie. But then the next couple were with Karen Kasama, who was the director of The Invitation, talking about, what did she talk about? Near Dark. And then the next episode was Heather Matarazzo, and they talked about The Invitation. So it was really cool. It was nice to hear about sort of all the experience people have had on set and like how they're influenced by different movies. So it's just really good. Like it's only like 40-minute episodes and everything has been super interesting so far. So
cool.
Yeah. If you weren't sold on it already.
I actually have watched one other Christmas movie that isn't the one that I'm not super stoked about. I did watch Elf.
Oh yeah.
Which I think is, it's so funny.
Yeah.
I love it so much. Yeah. And it seems like it's a pretty good like successor to like the Christmas movies that I watched like as a kid, so like the Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. What else did I?
And we watched Home Alone.
Home Alone, yeah. That's right. Which is also still good. Mm-hmm. Just like, yeah. I asked this question when we were there, so we watched this at a Christmas party, and I asked this question while we were watching it, and it's that, would the slapstick comedy then, like, as it is in that movie, still hold up in a movie now? Like, would you still think that's funny?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to think of other sort of more recent movies that use slapstick.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's generally funny to watch people fall down.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I can't think of as many sort of recent movies that are that into, like, the physical comedy thing. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I really don't know if, like, if I would still find that funny if it weren't for the fact that, you know, that was a movie that I watched as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was funny, though, like, watching it with a bunch of people. Because usually I just watch those Christmas movies, like, by myself. Or, like, after a couple drinks at my, like, you know, at my parents' place mm-hmm. on Christmas, where we're all, like, talking over and not really paying attention to it.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so the last thing was Love Actually, which I just watched yesterday.
Blah.
Have you seen Love Actually before?
I feel like I have, but when I was watching it, I was like, this is awful, and I don't remember ever seeing it. Mm. I think, like, I've seen memes of the part where the one character, like, holds up the signs.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen, like, parodies and memes of that part, but I don't think I've ever actually watched the entire movie.
I remember seeing that, and, like, completely out of context, that's almost sweet, but then you actually see it in the movie, it's like, ugh.
It's awful.
Don't.
It's like, you shut your mouth. That's your best friend's wife now.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, I hadn't seen it before. I just always heard about it as, like, this Christmas movie. And
everybody seems to love it. Like,
I was at work. We were doing this thing that we're building this new CRM system, and so we got all the admin assistants together in a room to, like, help us fill out the information and get it castle compliant, and it's sort of a big long story, but, like, so we're like, it wasn't fun work, so we're like, come on to this, like, workshop, we'll have cupcakes, we'll put on a movie, and someone put on Love Actually as the Christmas movie.
Oh my gosh,
and
with a bunch of people?
Yeah.
No.
So, I, first of all, right off the bat, it opens up and it invokes 9/11 to talk about love, how love is everywhere, which seems very undeserved. Like, what are, like, what?
Super, super. I feel like that was super tone deaf. And I have no idea if it was good, like, at the time.
It was super tone deaf. Like, I don't know. I guess the end of the movie happens in an airport, but that is literally the only connection I can see to anything. When did the movie come out? 2003. So,
like, 2 years later.
2 years later. I don't know. Was that just what people were doing then?
I don't know. God, like, just... like, almost every part of it was weird. Like, the relationship between the writer and the, like, housemaid that he had. And he's like, I don't know you, but now I'm gonna marry you. Like, what the fuck?
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay, so we're probably gonna spoil this movie, but really are not missing anything.
Also, just it's an old movie. We're past
listen to this.
We're past it.
Yeah, Let's Watch Two Movies is talking about this on their next episode, which I'm greatly looking forward to them roasting.
Yes.
So just listen to this, listen to them, don't watch the movie.
Save yourself.
Yeah, so it's basically, there's like, I don't know, 8 or 10 storylines you're going through.
It's a lot.
Yeah, so the Colin Firth one, he's a writer, he goes away, and he has like, what even is she?
Like a housekeeper, I think. Yeah.
While he's away, she speaks Portuguese, he doesn't, they don't communicate in any way, and then he, like, some of his papers blow into a lake, so she, like, takes off her clothes to go in after them, and he decides he's in love with her.
Yeah.
So, that was bad enough, and when he, like, learned Portuguese, I was like, oh, okay, he's gonna learn Portuguese and then go ask her out. But no, he's gonna learn Portuguese and ask her to marry him when he's never had a conversation with her.
God, like, goes to her house where in her like her whole family is there, and like tells her father that he wants to marry her. And then her dad is like, yeah, okay, and like takes him to like the place where she works,
and but not before he mistakes his marriage request for his other daughter, who is not as attractive, who he's like willing to pawn off onto him. Like,
God, so bad.
So okay, what other? Okay, let's go positive. I'm gonna talk about the storylines I didn't hate.
Okay.
The one I didn't hate was the two stand-ins.
The porn stand-ins, yes.
Like, that was the one where I was like, okay, this is kind of cute and funny. Like, they're stand, like, do pornos have stand-ins? Like, is this the most expensive porno, like, big-budget porno in the world? Like, I don't understand what... So they're just, like, all of their scenes, they're just, like, simulating sex in some way while they're talking about the weather or the traffic or whatever, and then they go on a date, and it's actually, like, kind of cute and the least terrible thing in the movie, I think.
Yeah, yeah, and they're, like... There's, like, one part where he's, like, the director or the PD is, like, okay, we need you to take off your shirt, and she's, like, okay, and then he's, like, oh... I won't look, don't worry. And then, like, they ask him to, like, you know, put his hands on her. And then he's like, is this okay? And he's, like, actually asking, like, if she's okay with it, which I thought was really good. But, yeah, I agree. This one was probably, like, the better storyline of all of them.
Yeah.
You could have just made a story, like, a movie about those two. And I would have been okay.
Yeah, it was the only one that wasn't awful. And even the other ones that I didn't mind weren't so much because of the story, they were because of the actors. Like, the sad Liam Neeson one started off like I had empathy for him, but I feel like that's because of the acting more than the actual story. Like, once it got into it where his son was in love, his like 12-year-old son was in love, and he like almost caused an international incident, like racing through airport security and stuff. Then I was like, okay, but I liked him, and I actually wanted him to end up with Emma Thompson, because she was the other character who I actually liked, even though the rest of her storyline, because her storyline, she's married to Alan Rickman, and Alan Rickman has an affair with his secretary, except he doesn't, like, really even seem to like his secretary.
It's weird. It's like some weird, like, emotional manipulation affair. Like, it was so strange. Like, it didn't even seem like it was, like, a reciprocated relationship at all.
He
was,
like,
I don't know.
But, like, she was just throwing herself at him. Actually,
like, anytime she talked to him, I was like, this is sexual harassment.
Yeah.
Report her.
He always just seemed mildly uncomfortable, yet he would just go with it.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
He went out and bought her a Christmas present, and he didn't seem to like her. Like, the Doc Webb, when I was talking about this, linked me the Honest trailers for it, and he just calls her a walking vagina. It's like, basically, like, she's just like, oh, it's so uncomfortable. Just like, where is the HR department in this company?
Gosh.
Like, it's just so weird. Like, he doesn't look like he's into it. And it's not because I don't think Alan Rickman is, like, doing a poor job acting. I think everyone actually does a pretty good job with the bad material that they have. But it was just like, why? Like, what is going on?
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't, like, it didn't even make sense at all. Like, it just kind of came out of left field.
Yeah.
The other storyline that I liked that I wish got resolved, like, in a way that would have made the couple happier was the one with the woman whose brother has dementia. And Carl. I only remember his name, but I don't remember, like, the actor name. But, like,
yeah,
I felt really bad for her because she's working so hard to take care of her brother. And, like, you know, I don't know. I just wish, like, that they had been given, like, a chance to have a relationship. Although, he was, like, the phone, like, rings and she has to answer, basically. And he's like, well, you could just not answer it this one time. And I was like, boy, no. So I just wish that they had a chance to, like, actually get to know each other and, like,
you know,
then he can, like, understand her situation and then they can make, you know, concessions for each other and then they could have had, you know, this nice thing that they both deserve.
Yeah, it's just, like, with so many characters, there was just so little development for any of them. So, like, all these love stories were, like, there actually had very little to do with love. It was, like, these people who have two conversations and then they're in love.
It's lust, actually.
Yeah, lust, actually. So what else is there? Okay, so the Andrew Lincoln, Keira Knightley story... that was creepy. It's like, that creepy. Was so Keira Knightley is marrying what's his name,
isn't it Twitle something?
Yes it is. So okay first of all, this movie is super white. Like, this is the one black person or person of color at all in the entire film.
The one British dude's friend is
Okay. But he's not even, like, a main player.
No.
So, but you think this guy is going to be, you know, an actual character in the movie. But no, like, him and Keira Knightley get married and then he never does anything again. Yep. And it's all about how Rick Grimes, as, like, a tiny young boy, loves Keira Knightley, even though, and they say this, like, in their first conversation, she goes to his house and she's like, oh, I know you've never really warmed up to me and we've never really talked. And he's like, actually, I've been in love with you this whole time. It's like, what?
Actually, I'm a creeper.
Yeah.
Who doesn't know how to behave around women I'm attracted to.
No, so he made this wedding video of them, and it's just all extreme close-ups of her face, and and he has those cards saying that she's perfect to him, and he'll admire her from afar, and he's doing this while his best friend is in the other room watching television. It's like, what is wrong with you?
The worst best friend.
That, I think that was probably the worst. I don't know.
No,
that,
then the worst part is he leaves and she goes after him.
Runs after him and she kisses him.
What the fuck? No.
I can't tell. I don't know. I feel like this is probably the worst storyline. The Colin Firth one is also awful. Bad. But I think this is just, like, creepy and just, I don't know, awful all around.
Yeah, it's not good.
No. God. And then there's the Prime Minister.
Oh, yeah.
Who...
I thought this one started out okay.
It started out okay. Like, okay, he's this single Prime Minister. He's obviously interested in his new assistant. And sort of despite the, you know, the power dynamic issues there, it was like, okay, this could be okay. But then he walks in on her... with Billy Bob Thornton, who's the president of the United States and kind of a dick.
Super dick.
And he's just like, I don't know, like whispering in her ear or something.
Yeah.
And so Hugh Grant just gets insanely jealous and ends up firing her because the girl that he likes who works for him was maybe flirting with another head of state.
Like even there, it's like, obviously, first of all, she's alone in this room with another like powerful dude. So help her.
Mm-hmm.
Because that doesn't, like, bad shit. She didn't look comfortable. No, like... she didn't. Like, get in there. Get her out of that situation.
God. Yeah, don't fire her.
Yeah. Have your employees back. God.
Yeah. And it was just, like, ugh, I don't know. It's, that one was pretty bad as well. Mm. And then after she's fired, he decides, oh, actually, I'm in love with her, even though we've talked like twice.
Mm-hmm.
And so he goes door to door on the street he knows that she lives in, trying to find her.
Which, like, and I mean, he's the prime minister. I feel like he could have found her address.
I feel like he could have found, and she used to work for him.
Yeah.
So, like, she probably has a pay stub or something. And then the other problem with that is that everyone keeps calling her fat.
Yes.
And making fat jokes at her expense. And, like, another woman that works for him is like, oh, she's got a big ass and huge thighs. It's like, what? What?
God.
And then, okay, what else? I think there's two more. There's
the
one I like and one I hate.
British dude.
The British dude who's convinced if he went to America, all the women would be won over by his cute British accent and throw themselves at him. And they do, four at a time.
Yeah. Yeah.
That should just have been deleted from the whole movie.
It really should have, yeah. Like, I thought his friend, like, had maybe paid them to do that.
Yeah. I thought it was like a dream or something.
Yeah.
Like it was ridiculous.
But no,
it was like
real.
Alicia Cuthbert and January Jones and the girl who shows her boobs in American Pie, like, and Denise Richards.
Yeah.
Like,
so weird.
And they're just like, oh, you're British. And the thing is, like, he goes to a bar and it's just like a bar probably that would have a bunch of middle-aged men watching a hockey game.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like a club, it's not somewhere where a bunch of drunk hot girls would hang out, but he just like runs into four of them who all want to jump his bones because he's British. So the one bright spot in the movie for me was Bill Nighy, or just,
oh,
Nighy.
yeah,
that was like the one good part of the movie. He plays this like aging rock star, and this is also the one place where the movie demonstrates some self-awareness, because
yes,
at the beginning of it he's recording a Christmas cover of the Love Is All Around Us song, which I'm pretty sure was the song from Four Weddings and a Funeral, I believe it was.
Mm.
So it like sort of calls into memory like all the Hugh Grant romantic comedy,
yeah,
movies, Four Weddings and Funeral and Notting Hill and those, but they've like turned it into this like cheap Christmas song, and he hates it and he thinks it's shit, but everyone just eats it up because it's a popular song with Christmas stuck in the lyrics a whole bunch.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I just found him funny. Like at one point there's this what's his name? The addicted to love guy. I don't remember his name, but like the video is very much reminiscent of that, and they're filming it, and it's just like women in short Santa dresses, like awkwardly licking their lips in the background. So he was the only part of the movie that like I actually enjoyed watching.
Yeah.
Him and the two stand-ins.
Yeah.
Those were the not awful parts.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, so I don't understand why people like this movie, because it's not romantic. It has nothing to do with love. It's just, I don't know. Like, I feel like it just makes a good movie trailer. Like, there's a bunch,
yeah,
of well-known, well-loved actors, and you can take tiny little 3-second clips out of it and make a really good trailer, but actually it's bad. And it also started all the other ones, like the Valentine's Day and the New Year's, which I haven't seen. And I will never see now, because if this is the best one that started it all off, that's bad.
No, then that means the other ones aren't worth watching.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to our favorite Christmas things.
Christmas!
Christmas things that are actually good. Good, actually. So what are some of your favorite Christmas things?
Favorite Christmas things. Well, I already talked about the Santa Claus. That's one of my favorite Christmas movies. I like all of the old, like, claymation and animated movies. So, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the freaking Here Comes Santa Claus. What else came out around that time? Frosty the Snowman.
Is there a Yeti in one of those movies?
Yeah, in the Rudolph one.
Is it scary?
I don't think anymore.
I don't think it's supposed to be. Okay.
No. Like, he actually was, like, kind of scary because his teeth are all pointy. And, like, the mountain climber guy, what is his name? Cornelius something? He's, like, no, the elf, the little elf guy wants to be a dentist. That's why he gets kicked out of the North Pole.
Oh.
And he, like, takes all of the Yeti's teeth out. So he gets less scary. But, like, when he's got his big old, like, teeth out and stuff, he's actually kind of scary. Yeah, Rudolph is, like, watching it back, I'm like, man, how did I ever watch this as a kid? Like, it actually is kind of scary in some parts. But, yeah, I love that one. I have, like, the whole little, like, Blu-ray collection of all those movies.
Oh, nice.
What else do we usually watch? Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah. Nightmare Before Christmas is definitely one of my favorite Christmas movies.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like there's like, so many that you kind of just, like, you know, put on the background when you've got family over or whatever.
Nightmare Before Christmas is usually the one that after I come home from my mom's quite drunk on Christmas evening, I usually put it on before I go to bed. So, I just love musicals, and as we found out, it's like 70 minutes long or something.
Yeah,
so it's nice and short.
I mean, and then, like, aside from, like, movies and stuff, like, I just like the winter season, so I like snow, and I like cold to a certain extent. I don't like it being too cold. And I don't like shopping for presents, but I like giving presents. So it kind of balances out a little bit. Like, gifting things to people is one of my favorite things, especially, like, getting to, like, watch them open it after you've worked hard to find something that you know that they'll like. I just, you know, there's something really good about, like, being able to, like, throw on 5 or 6 blankets and just, like, sit on the couch with, like, a warm cup of, like, either hot chocolate or coffee or whatever. And, like, hot chocolate in, like, around Christmas time, like, because I don't work for the next week, every hot chocolate that I have now is going to have the peppermint Kahlua in it, which is extremely good if you haven't tried it. And I just like, you know, lazing around and doing nothing for a couple days. And it's nice to, like, I go and I see my family for a couple days usually. So it's really good to, like, see everybody all together, because even though we live close in, like, Southern Ontario, we still don't get together, like, as a big group very much. And then this year, like, one of my cousins just started university. One of them is, like, working part-time and going to school. So, like, they're getting older, so I don't see them as much anymore. Mm-hmm. So this will be, like, you know, the first time where we're all getting together for probably at least a year. So, yeah.
Yeah, I like, I don't know, there's a few movies I usually watch every year. I talked about Nightmare Before Christmas. I also really like the original The Grinch Who Stole Christmas.
Yes.
that's fun. And also a musical. And then my favorite Christmas movie is A Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Yay!
Which is so good. I love The Muppets so much. And I love Michael Caine and how, like, seriously he takes acting with the Muppets. And I like the idea that old rich men have to be scared by ghosts into acting like good people. If that could happen to more of them.
That'd be cool.
That'd be cool. And I read a thread about how The Muppet Christmas Carol is actually the best adaptation of A Christmas Carol.
Oh.
And I would like to be able to contribute to it, but I've never read the book.
Neither have I.
But yeah, the movie's great and has some good songs in it.
Yeah.
And I love the, what's his name? The little rat guy.
Oh. You know, I don't know. I know who you're talking about because, like, on the Muppet Treasure Island one, he's very good, too.
Oh, okay. So I like those things. And then my favorite Christmas songs, as much as it's overplayed, is Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. Mm-hmm. That's, like, one of the songs I never get sick of, no matter how many times I hear it. And the other one is the David Bowie, Bing Crosby, Little Drummer Boy. Those are, like, the two songs that sort of, like, mean Christmas to me. And then, yeah, once you brought up, like, the fancy hot chocolates and things, that's totally, like, when around this time, all my lattes tend to be, like, eggnog lattes. And I also have that peppermint Kahlua. I'll use that, or I'll, like, put a spoon of hot chocolate into my lattes, or like spice cider.
Oh yes,
all cider. Kinds of good things.
Hot cider, yes, my favorite.
Yes. I know,
actually in past years I've started I made mulled wine last year, and then like one of my coworkers actually brought mulled wine to the office Christmas potluck. Which might not have been super appropriate, but that's okay. But that's, it was okay. Like, she used the Jamie Oliver recipe, so I'm like, okay, I need to make that this year because it was so good. Something about, like, hot, boozy drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are... I also really like giving presents. Although, it's like a love-hate thing where it's like, I love finding something and it's like, oh, this is perfect for this person. And then, like, I love doing that. But at the same time, sometimes there's people who it's like... I have no idea what to get. And then it just becomes a source of anxiety.
Yeah. The worst are, like, people who don't give Christmas lists until the very last minute.
Talking about anyone in particular?
Yes. Gosh. Or, like, people who... have like specific things in mind and you can't find them. That's like not anybody in particular. It's just I've noticed that a couple years where I'm like looking for something that they have asked for and I'm like, I can't find this anywhere, or it's like way out of my price range.
Yeah, that sometimes happens with, like, Will had a bunch of retro games on his list. And beside the fact that I'm, like, totally over-collecting, and it's like, I have everything on my RetroPie. I don't need to spend any money on games. Some things, it's like, okay, I want this, but don't get it on the internet because it could be a fake or the label could be a repro. Or it's like, oh, I have to go to a store.
Let me just order it online.
Yeah.
Ship it to my door.
Exactly. Yeah.
Especially around this time of year. Ugh.
All right. You want to get to some questions?
Yeah.
All right. want to kick it off?
Sure. The first question is from a Latino lawyer, and he asks, what is your favorite Christmas stocking stuffer?
So, in my family, we always, like, do really good stockings. So I don't know if I have a favorite, but, like, the stockings are always packed full of good stuff. Like, it's not just candy. There's some candy, but it's also, like, my mom will buy me, like, fancy face wash. Ooh. And, like, nice candles. Ooh. And things like that. So I don't know if I have a favorite. Every year we get, my mom and I get each other Terry's chocolate oranges.
Oh, gross.
Just because it's a tradition, even though I don't think they ever get eaten by anyone. We just buy them and put them in each other's stockings.
Okay, that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, so this might sound weird, but my mom always puts, like, an actual, like, not an orange, but, like, a clementine in our stockings. And for some reason, so, I've bought clementines for myself a couple times, and they've all been gross. But for some reason, the ones that my mom buys are, like, actually good. I don't know how to describe, but, like, the difference is the ones that are in my stocking always taste better. So that, and, like, they're there every year, so that's a pretty, like, you know, a good thing. And then, like, usually there's, like, socks, magazine in there, a bunch of candy, you know, the usual stuff. But, like, the thing that sticks out is the orange, for sure.
Oh, actually, now you mentioned socks, that's probably mine. Socks is the one thing, like, I'm the most boring person in the world. Anytime anyone asks me, like, what do you want for Christmas? I say socks.
Yeah.
Because I go through socks so fast. Like, all the toes get holes in them because I like, cute little thin socks with, like, puppies on them and things.
Yeah, I just,
like, go through them so fast. So I always get socks in my stocking, too. And that's probably my favorite.
They're practical.
Yeah. The next question is from Cartridge Bros, and it's, which Overwatch Christmas outfit would you like to have in real life for yourself?
Tracers. Easy. It's so cute.
I like Tracers. It's cute. I really like Sombra's. She just got a new one, didn't she?
She did, yeah. The icy one.
The icy one. I liked Sombra's first one, where she kind of looks like a candy cane.
Yeah, it's so
cute.
Or
a Christmas ornament. Also, I really like Farrah's, like, icicle shoulders.
Yeah.
I don't know how practical that would be. But, you know, I could wear it on the subway, and no one would bother me, I think.
I think you're right. The next question is from... at Polykill. Is that the Polykill podcast people?
Yeah, okay. Polykill podcast. I assume this is from Travis.
Okay. what Christmas movie is generally well-loved but just doesn't do it for you? I think we just had, like, a 20-minute rant on one.
That's true. Love Actually. But also, I think It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh.
Every time a bell rings.
That movie goes from, like, so super saccharine to really depressing, because at the beginning of the movie he's about to kill himself.
Yeah,
it's like, it's kind of like A Christmas Carol, except even darker somehow, but then it's just, like, just tonally just, like, wild shift.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not super into that one.
How about you? Definitely that one for sure. I don't know. I mean, I kind of just stick with the ones that I like.
Know you like.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I've ever, like, I don't think I've ever had a Christmas movie suggested to me that I've, like, hated. Or just been like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll have an answer after I go home for 3 days and put on some Christmas movies. We'll see.
Yeah, I feel like there are probably a lot of bad Christmas movies, except I guess then they wouldn't really fall into the well-loved category.
Yeah.
Like, even on Netflix this year, there's a bunch, like The Christmas Prince and The Christmas Inheritance, and they all look pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess the well-loved part is...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't really...
I'm not into the Christmas Carol adaptations, like the more classic ones, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the Muppet one, for sure. I don't even know what other ones... There's a Jim Carrey one.
There's a Jim Carrey one?
Yes.
A Christmas Carol?
Yes.
Or
No, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Jim Carrey Christmas...
I also find the Jim Carrey Grinch movies really creepy.
Yeah, I mean, I like him as the Grinch. Like, I think he did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. The rest of it, I'm not too sure about. Yeah, Jim Carrey's A Christmas Carol. So it's all, like, CGI.
Oh, okay.
So like, he's CGI. Actually, that one is not bad now that I think about it. But I'm pretty sure the ghost dudes are kind of creepy.
No. So the next question comes from the Masters of Unlocking podcast at MOU Podcast on Twitter. What are your most beloved and reviled family holiday traditions?
Okay, so Christmas Eve, everybody opens one present.
Yeah, I used to have that.
Yeah, but mom picks the present.
Mm-hmm.
And mom knows what it is. And, like, now everybody does. So everybody gets pajamas.
I remember that happening in my household as well. I got, like, pajamas or, like, a new house coat.
Yeah. So, like, when we were kids, it was the worst thing ever.
Oh, no.
But, like, looking back, like, it's good. It was good, obviously. But, like, my mom used to make the pajamas. So there's a picture somewhere of me and my brothers in, like, matching Mickey Mouse pajamas. And, like, now, unfortunately, we don't have matching Mickey Mouse pajamas. Although that'd be very funny. We all just open, like, the one present, and it's always, like, some sort of pajama or, like, nightgown or whatever. And then everybody wakes up in those. And then we all have, like, a big breakfast. And, like, basically we just kind of do nothing for the entire Christmas Day until the big family dinner, which this year is at my uncle's place, which is a 1-minute walk from my parents' house, which is great. So we're all going to go there, see all the family members, drink a lot, walk home, go back to bed. We also put a pickle ornament on the tree. Ooh. And whoever finds the pickle gets to open their gift first on Christmas morning.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so those are a couple things that we do that are kind of like, we do them every year.
I also used to get a new ornament every year, like a new fancy ornament.
I used to get horse ornaments every year from my aunt.
A lot of mine were horses.
Yeah.
Most of my Christmas traditions, like, they've changed a little now that I've no longer living at home. Mm-hmm. But I remember I had the same thing when I was with my parents, where I would open a present on Christmas Eve. Also on Christmas Eve, we would go to my aunt and uncle's house, and my aunt is a really good cook, and we would always have, like, a traditional French Canadian Christmas. So we would have, like, torchere. And it was really delicious. And then Christmas morning, I was never one of those kids who was like, yeah, presents, and, like, waking up at 5 a.m. Usually, I would have to be woken up.
Oh, my gosh.
To open my Christmas presents on Christmas Day. So
I still can't sleep before Christmas. Like, I'm the worst.
No, I remember, like, my stepdad my mom would be like, don't wake her up, don't wake her up. Because sometimes I would be kind of awake, but like wanting to go back to sleep. Aww. And I could hear them. And so my mom would be like, don't wake her up. And my stepdad would just like throw things at my door. Like that was a, I wouldn't know. So then in the morning we'd get up and we'd make coffee and have coffee with Bailey's, and we would open our stockings and then we would open our presents and then usually have a Christmas dinner at our place. Mm-hmm. And then the other part of the tradition that I always loved was just because I'd usually get, you know, at least a few video games. So that whole week after Christmas would just be like playing my new games. Mm-hmm. So now that I don't live with my mom anymore, it's, we don't do the New Year's Eve thing here. And then Christmas morning, being with Will is almost like having a child, where he gets up at like 5 a.m. He's like, presents, presents, presents. And I'm like, chill out. Give me time to make my coffee. We'll open presents after coffee. Like,
give me a second to wake up, please.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So we usually give Lily a present first, and she either takes it into the bedroom and we never see her again, or she stays around to, like, eat all the wrapping paper, or try to eat all the wrapping paper. Yeah, but that's generally our my loved family traditions.
Mm. All right, the next question is from Voska, and he asks, is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
So I actually watched Die Hard yesterday,
and
I thought I had seen it before.
Okay, so I also have this
problem. But
now
I'm not
so
sure.
Yeah, I'm sure I've seen it at least once, but I don't remember it.
As I was watching, I was like, none of this really seems familiar. I think I maybe have only seen the second Die Hard.
Oh.
I mean, now I've seen both of them.
Yeah.
I mean, the first two, but I would not say that it's a Christmas movie. It takes place at Christmas, and it's centered around a Christmas party, like office party. Mm. But Christmas doesn't really have anything else to do with it. Like, you could very easily, I think, change it to a New Year's party or like a fiscal end party or a party for getting a big new account or client or something.
Mm.
I mean, they play Christmas songs at the end of it. Which makes it seem like it really wants to be a Christmas movie, but no, I feel like not really a Christmas movie, yeah. Despite taking place at Christmas.
It's like a movie you maybe watch around Christmas time, but it's not a Christmas movie, like about Christmas.
And I also think like it's a movie that you would watch any time of year.
Mm.
Like, I wouldn't watch Elf in July,
no.
Probably.
Yeah, no, me neither.
Or... But I feel like you would watch Die Hard any time of year. Mm. So.
Yeah. I feel like I can't, like, super comment on that because I really actually do not remember watching the whole thing. I feel like you might get some flack for that, saying it's not a Christmas movie. But.
I know, because I think it's like, that's the thing now to say Die Hard's my favorite Christmas movie.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, if you like Die Hard, that's good. Like, it's a good movie, but it's not, it doesn't really have a whole lot to do with Christmas.
Yeah. It's not like a Christmas movie, like bolded, underlined Christmas movie.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
So
no.
Yeah. I would say no. And I'm pretty sure that when it released, it came out in July. Like, it was a summer blockbuster.
Okay, then.
So,
no, definitely not.
I don't think it's a Christmas movie.
Sorry.
So the next question is from the Doc Webb, who has a question along the same lines. And he asks, is Nightmare Before Christmas a Christmas movie or a Halloween movie or both or neither?
Both. For me.
I'd say Christmas for me.
Oh.
I always watch it at Christmas. I don't know. I don't really feel like Halloween is a genre of movie. Mm-hmm. Like, I just think like horror is what you watch at Halloween.
Yeah.
And this is definitely kind of like a feel good kind of movie.
Yeah, I mean, I see where you're coming from. But like, I watch it around Halloween too because it's got Halloween stuff in it. So for me, it's both. But I can see how it would just be, excuse me, a Christmas movie.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it kind of, like, gets you pumped for Christmas if you watch it around true. Halloween. Because then you're mm-hmm. like, as soon as Halloween is over, it's November and it's Christmas time. That flip happens at midnight.
Yeah, I don't like to get into the Christmas spirit until December.
Oh, jeez. It's like November and I'm like, okay, start the snow. Let's go. The only hard part about November is like Canadians don't get a long weekend in November. So it's like the longest month to wait.
I guess it depends because I get...
you get Remembrance Day.
Remembrance Day.
Yeah, government.
Yeah. But that's true.
Yeah.
Although I feel like in the States, like, Thanksgiving and Christmas are so close together.
They really are.
Like, you need more space between your major holidays.
Yeah. Okay. Last one. Is also from the doc web, so thanks for sending in so many questions. The question is, what is your favorite sweet Christmas treat? And on the flip side, what is your least favorite holiday food that you still eat every year because it's tradition?
My favorite is these cookies my mom makes. They're coffee drops with mocha glaze. Aww. So, like, they're this really soft kind of coffee-flavored
hello
cookie with, like, this amazing glaze with, like, coffee in it. And they're so good.
That sounds good.
Mm-hmm. And on the flip side, least favorite holiday food. I've never been a big turkey, like, turkey dinner fan. So, like, I've always had, like, as I mentioned, like, the torchere on Christmas Eve. Mm. And even now, I've gotten my mom to make different things. Like, one Christmas we had duck. This time, where I think we're having beef tenderloin. Mm. So, like... turkey stuffing, although there's a sausage stuffing that I really like, but I don't like the regular, like, sort of bread apple stuffing.
Apple?
Isn't there usually apple in it?
Oh, I don't know. That sounds... apple? Like, I know you put, like, celery.
Oh, I thought there was, like, celery. I guess everyone has their own recipe, but, like, celery and apple and
stuff. Apple.
But... so, yeah, the only stuffing I like is, like, made of sausage. You just stuff a turkey with sausage.
Oh, my God.
But generally, it depends where I'm eating. Like, I'll basically, if someone is feeding me, I will eat it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm much more into different things. Like, sometimes we have lasagna on Christmas.
Oh, man, that's so bizarre. So, yeah. let's see. So for me, favorite sweet thing. So I, because I can't have anything with gluten in it, I kind of haven't really been into, like, the usual, like, Christmas cookies and stuff. When I used to be able to eat that, though, there was this cookie that we used to go, so, like, a long time ago, my grandparents used to have, like, this big, like, church thing at the beginning of December, where when I lived with my parents, I used to have to go. Now I'm an adult and I don't have to go. There was this lady that made these cookies that were, like, this shortbread type thing, and they were so good, and they were, like, you know, like, melt in your mouth, like, cookie. Oh, so good. I love shortbread. Probably that. Now, I don't know, I don't really, like, it would probably be, like, hot chocolate or something, like, not, something that's not, like, a cookie or a pastry. Like, it would be something that, you know, I would get to drink.
Although now there's, like, good gluten-free flour.
There is.
Like, I really like those shortbread that Julia made last week.
Yeah, so we...
and I remember making, like, eggnog cookies. Those were really
good. Yeah, yeah.
But...
Yeah. And then... Least favorite holiday food. So at first I was kind of like, oh, how can you say that you don't like turkey? But then also, like, I would rather have ham over turkey. So
yes, I love ham.
maybe turkey. But I mean, like, saying it's my least favorite is like picking like something off of something that's on the same level as everything else.
I feel like Christmas cake is the default answer. Like
cake?
Does anyone like Christmas? Yeah, fruitcake.
Actually, okay, so you know the One of a Kind show? So yep. In Toronto, for those of you who don't know, there's a big, like, Christmas, like, market convention thing. I don't know really what else to call it, where it's like a bunch of vendors and they call it like the One of a Kind craft show, because it's supposed to be like, you know, handmade things, and there is a lot of really unique stuff there. And one of the vendors that comes every year makes a cranberry like Christmas pudding cake. Like, it's a, when I say like Christmas pudding, I mean like it's like, you know, the British pudding, where it's not like pudding like we think here.
Yeah, the cake with like the warm sauce
it's got like I can't remember what, it's like a butter sauce that they put on top of it, and it's like this cranberry, like, they call it a fruit cake, but it's really not like a like a traditional fruit cake. And they made a gluten-free version, so I've actually had it after the fact. And it's like super good. So like that kind of fruit cake is good, but the traditional type of fruit cake, no, that's gross. Yeah, I don't know. And you know how like, they have like weird like pudding, like not pudding. Fuck, I can't stop saying pudding now. The like Jell-O desserts. I don't know if you've ever had like pineapple sort of and coconut in Jell-O.
Oh, like Jell-O with like weird marshmallow and fruit and stuff.
Ugh. Yeah. Okay. So
like ambrosia salad.
Yeah. 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 So somebody in my family makes that. Which is, I don't know. It's like, I eat it, but I'm pretty sure I don't enjoy it.
I'm generally horrified by any food that includes marshmallows that's not just like a marshmallow dipped in chocolate or over a campfire or something.
Yeah. Oh, God. So you're not into like the marshmallows on top of like yams or sweet potato? Ugh.
No.
I've tried that and it's way too sweet. It's like so blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm. Like, why would you put marshmallows on a savory dish?
I have no idea. Blah.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I just generally don't like a lot of sweets in my savory. No. Like, even things that have maple syrup on them, like savory dishes that are like maple flavored, or it's like not my thing.
Like a maple barbecue sauce, like,
yeah, or even like maple bacon. I was like, stop ruining my bacon, please.
I just want the bacon.
Yeah. All right, I think that's it for our questions. Mm-hmm. Do you have any last Christmassy things to say?
Just that I hope everybody had or has a good holiday, and if you don't celebrate Christmas, then I hope you have a good day off. Everybody gets Christmas day off, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Gosh, and like, thanks for listening this year. Since it's like the last podcast of the year. Thank you.
It is, yes.
Yeah.
We're almost at the 2-year mark.
Yeah. It's crazy. But yeah, thank you. And I hope next year is good for you guys too. Yeah.
Yeah. let's leave 2017 in the dust.
Yes, please.
And have a good year. All right. Where can people find you if they want to contact you?
You can find me on Twitter at Clary with an underscore. So it's K-A-L-E-R-I with an underscore.
And you can find me on Twitter at Josyla underscore, or my YouTube channel is Cannot Be Tamed. I should have a best of 2017 gaming video up sometime. I haven't started it yet, but sometime.
You have a limited amount of time for trying to get it in before the end of the year.
If you have any feedback or questions for us, you can reach out at mediamavenscast@gmail.com or contact us on Twitter at _mediamavens. There is also a forum for discussion of any of our episodes at cartridgeclub.org. And we haven't had a new review in a long time, so if you like the show, please leave us reviews on iTunes or Stitcher. Thanks for listening. Have a happy holidays, everyone, and we'll see you next time. Oh, okay, one sec. I need more wine for this conversation.
Sure.
One second.